Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest right now is Terry Schilling, who is the executive director of the American Principles Project. And we're going to talk specifically about a story that the mainstream media, for all practical purposes, is ignoring and involves an anti-Catholic but also anti-evangelical bias that is found among some in the Clinton campaign. And Terry, tell us, for those who haven't heard this story, which might very well be the majority of the listeners of this show, what happened?
So essentially, a group of top Clinton staffers on her presidential campaign and through other organizations, primarily John Podesta and Jennifer Palmieri and John Halpin, their emails were discovered through the WikiLeaks, and they're found referring to the Catholic Church as a Middle Ages dictatorship, and said that conservatives who have an attraction to Catholicism give it an amazing bastardization of the faith. And they also, I mean, like you said, they mocked evangelicals and all Christians of all faiths. But the big thing for me, though, is their nefarious strategy to create Christian and Catholic front groups to divide and confuse followers of the Lord in what the church teaches when it comes to our civic engagement as practicing Christians. It's really sick and demented, and if this were happening on the Republican ticket, you know that the media would be talking about it all over the place.
What if they had been talking about Jews?
What if they had been talking about Jews? What if they had been talking about Hispanics? What if they had been talking about members of the LGBT community?
What if they had been talking about Muslims? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. If it was any other sacred group to the left, they would be calling Trump Hitler. They would be going overboard. But because we're Christians, and they've defined us as, they believe in their hearts and minds, and the media goes along with it, that all Christians are discriminatory and anti-gay bigots and hateful people. It's okay to insult us. It's okay to say bad things to us. It's okay to confuse us. It's okay to lie to Christians, to trick them into voting the wrong way. It's really sick and twisted, Jerry.
All right, let's get some actual quotes here. So, for example, one of these persons you're talking about, it was on the Clinton campaign, Halpin, John Halpin. Do you know what his exact role is? Offhand?
I think he's just a campaign advisor, actually, and a strategist.
Okay. So there was a story where Rupert Murdoch was, I guess, having his children reared in the Catholic faith and had them baptized. He had the privilege to have them baptized in Israel in the Jordan River. Now, here's a quote from Halpin. Quote, "Friggin' Murdoch baptized his kids in Jordan where John the Baptist baptized Jesus. It's an amazing bastardization of the faith. They must be attracted to the systematic thought and severely backwards gender relations and must be totally unaware of Christian democracy." Okay, can you unpack those words?
Oh, my goodness. I don't even know where to begin. Gender identification. I mean, look, these guys are so crazy. I mean, they act like we are the backwards ones because we accept, this thing called science that says that we have biology that determines whether or not we're male or female. I mean, these are the people that reject common sense. They reject scientific fact, all for insanity. It's hard. Look, these are sick and twisted people, and they have a perverse worldview. And anyone that diverts away from that worldview needs to be punished. I'm reading this book right now called The Global Sexual Revolution by Gabrielle Kubi, and she does an amazing job at tying together the left on all of these issues. And it's really incredible. They really have a disdain for Christianity, but overall it's really about population control and winning elections and consolidating more power in the state capitals and punishing Christians for dissenting and promoting their views on Christianity.
Well, say the name of that book again.
It's called The Global Sexual Revolution, and it's written by Gabrielle Kubi.
The Global Sexual Revolution. Yeah, go ahead.
She's a psychologist and a researcher based out of Germany, and she was on the front line. So a lot of the stuff that we're seeing right now in America with the transgender bathrooms and gay marriage and anti-religious freedom and the sexual orientation and gender identity laws that seek to punish Christians and Christian organizations and churches for their views on marriage and human sexuality, this all started in Europe, and it's now coming here. And so she was on the front lines and got to see it. And the book is, it has a lot of great advice. It ties together the entire left and their movement on this in a very articulate way that's just mind-blowing, really.
Yeah. You know, really, in a sense, I think what we're dealing with is cultural Marxism. I mean, Marx was so discredited in terms of economics, and Marx has just brought nothing but misery to untold millions, not to mention all the millions of deaths, tens of millions of deaths. But now cultural Marxism is also, you know, causing all kinds of different havoc. But now I want to ask you about something Hillary herself said, and this is, you know, no hidden email that was revealed or whatever, and you know, I guess what the left is doing is they're dismissing these hacked emails because they were hacked, and so it's almost like the medium is the message. You know, we don't want to hear about these things because they were obtained, you know, in a bad way. But didn't Hillary herself say that if you are a Christian and you think that the fetus has rights or something, you need to be re-educated? You know, something to that effect.
Yes, I believe she said something very similar to that. But there's another quote out there that concerns me even greater, and it's because it's how she views the role of the state versus religion. And in a 2015 speech, she said that deep-seated religious beliefs will have to be changed.
Yeah, this is it.
In order to make way for better reproductive health care. If you think about what that means that she plans to use the force of government, i.e. getting rid of and eliminating our right to religious freedom and to practice religious freedom freely and believe what we want to believe. She wants to get rid of that. I mean, she's openly telling us, I don't believe in religious freedom. I believe that the state and the secular are religion, and those are the only ones that really are sacred. You don't have a right to dissent. You don't have a right to disagree. And we're going to send the government after you. This is a woman that has pledged to sign the so-called Equality Act, which is what it would shut down every Christian school in the country that refuses to adopt the LGBT agenda or make, and that includes making accommodations in the locker rooms and showers for, quote, transgender guys, you know, guys that identify as girls. That want to shower with our teenage girls and daughters. It's disgusting and it's sick. And she wants to use the force of government to shut down our schools and our institutions. She doesn't think that we have a right to exist in America.
Wow. Tell me again the name of that or the date of that speech and where from Hillary.
It was I'm not sure exactly where it was. I think it was on the campaign trail, but it was in 2015. And I believe it was right after the Obergefell decision, when the Supreme Court, told the states that they couldn't define what marriage was.
I mean, that's just mind blowing.
That is.
What other examples do you see from the Clinton campaign in terms of an anti-Christian bias?
Oh my goodness. I mean, the biggest thing that comes to mind is that she wants to force every taxpayer in America to openly fund abortions. She wants to repeal the Hyde Amendment permanently. And the reason that that's real and why Christians should be worried about that is because we have a moral obligation to make sure that our taxpayer dollars do not go to fund garbage like that. And the Hyde Amendment, for all its credit, it's for your listeners that aren't familiar, the Hyde Amendment essentially bans public direct public taxpayer funding of abortions. And it's actually saved well over 2 million lives since it was first implemented. It saves about 50,000 unborn babies every year. And if you repeal the Hyde Amendment and get rid of it, and you'll open up the floodgates of abortion funding for taxpayers. And we all know what happens when the government gets involved in subsidizing things. It gets out of control. It'll be really, really bad.
Hmm. All right, let's deal with some more some of the, you know, leaked emails and so forth. I guess John Podesta who is Clinton's campaign chairman, was trying to essentially use the Center for American Progress to launch a Catholic Spring to essentially foment rebellion within the church. Can you explain about that?
Yeah, so essentially, John Podesta has a problem with the Catholic Church overall in her beliefs and the fact that they educate their citizens to vote on six non-negotiable issues. So the Catholic Church comes out every election, they say, they remind the Catholic faithful, they say, these are our six non-negotiables. These are the issues that you have to focus on and consider before any other issue. And the six non-negotiables are the right to life, marriage between a man and a woman, religious freedom, euthanasia, no stem cell research,
and embryonic stem cell research.
Yeah, that's and no embryonic stem cell research. That's right. If the candidate disagrees with the Catholic Church on any of those, then you're not allowed to vote. You're not supposed to vote for them. I mean, it's a directive from the church. Like, it's not acceptable. You're putting yourself out of God's grace for that.
All right, I'm coming from an evangelical perspective, then obviously one would look at somebody like Tim Kaine as somebody who's violating the principles he claims to hold dear and near.
That's right. And you know, in the past, when it's with the Catholic Church, it's much more driven by the diocese. And so that's why there are differences with how the bishops govern and how they, but before in the past, what would happen with politicians like Tim Kaine is they would be excommunicated until they made their public position, put it back in line with the Catholic Church. And I wish that they would do more of that. So what Podesta did was he started these outside Catholic groups, that were fake. They weren't really rooted in Catholic teaching, to cause a rebellion within the church and confuse the followers and tell them, oh, no, you, just because someone's pro-life, that doesn't mean you should vote for them. And just because someone's pro-abortion, that doesn't mean you can't vote for them. We need to care about the poor, and we need to care about immigrants, and we need to care about the environment. And these are just as legitimate issues as protecting unborn children. And the problem is that while we should be taking care of the poor, and while we should be taking care of immigrants, abortion is murder. there is a scale here, and the Catholic Church has been very clear about what's non-negotiable and what is negotiable, what people can legitimately disagree about and have differences of opinion on how to solve them. We can't disagree on whether or not abortion is okay or not.
Yeah.
Either abortion should be allowed to be legal or it shouldn't be, and the Catholic Church is very clear that it should not be legal.
If a politician, this is my view, if a politician doesn't get abortion right, what else don't they get right? And especially, you know, you could almost, and this is not in any way to excuse the Supreme Court in 1973, 7-2 voting for Roe v. Wade. By the way, one of the seven later, the Chief Justice, Warren Burger, later changed to vote pro-life in subsequent decisions, especially once he saw what Roe v. Wade unleashed. Anyway, the amount of knowledge that we have today with sonograms and babies, unborn babies having fingernails and, you know, all the little details is so phenomenal. How can you possibly justify the taking of this life? Now, in one of the other exchanges, Jennifer Palmieri, now the Clinton campaign's director of communications, said politically conservative Catholics, quote, think Roman Catholicism is the most socially acceptable politically conservative religion. Their rich friends wouldn't understand if they became evangelicals. Any quick comment about that?
I have no idea where she's coming from. I honestly don't. I mean, it's such an obvious. I mean, look, all these emails show,
they just show the anti-Christian bias, whether it's anti-Catholic or anti-evangelical, etc.
Right, and it doesn't even show ignorance, which is really even worse. They understand this, and they're purposely trying to destroy and cause harm to the church and its influence on our society. And all that right. is what's really questionable here.
And we're out of time, but I thank you so much for joining us. Terry Schilling, Executive Director of the American Principles Project. The website is AmericanPrinciplesProject.org. Thanks so much for being with us, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Jerry. I really appreciate it.
All the best. Bye-bye.